Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dane Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Our newest discussion covers a broad range of topics that are on the minds of our soldiers, our leaders, and our listeners. These topics include the loss of Army Specialist Vanessa Guillen, a discussion on racial inclusion and diversity in the Army, the impact of This Is My Squad, an update on COVID-19 protection measures, and finally, the new Army Combat Fitness Test 2 rollout. All of these subjects directly impact soldiers and leaders as our Army continues training units to maintain readiness and executing worldwide operations. So these are important subjects to discuss, and the best person to have that discussion with here in our studio is our Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael A. Grinston. SMA Grinston, it's great to have you back again, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me, and thanks for the AUSA team for hosting this podcast. We've got some really difficult topics that are hard to discuss today, but I think these are the topics that our soldiers and our families and our military communities are dealing with. So I really appreciate the team for putting this together.
Well, SMA, you're right. These are difficult subjects, but we appreciate your leadership. Getting out in front and talking about these is exactly what our Army needs. And you're leading from the front, an example of how you lead through this tough time. And we have tough times, but as we know, our Army faces adversity and they always come out on top. So thanks for joining us today. Sergeant Major, I thought today we'd start with the tough subject, the loss of Specialist Vanessa Guillen. You know, the brutal killing in April of U.S. Army Specialist Vanessa Guillen at Fort Hood, Texas, was a very tragic situation, and I'm sure you've talked with soldiers about it. I know the investigation is still ongoing, but how's the Army handling Specialist Guillen's death?
It's a hard loss. You know, it's just a tragedy. We're still investigating this, but this is a tough one. And I did a small session with some of the soldiers at Fort Hood, and it's emotional. We just need to talk about it. We need to talk through it. In my opinion, all these emotions, I don't think we've actually finished, you know, and we're not going to finish with, you know, racial inclusion and diversity. And then you have this, and it's just building the anguish of what our soldiers are going through right now. We have to fix sexual assault and sexual harassment. And this has to be done at the squad level. And I think we need to have these small unit discussions. And we talked about that with racial inclusion, and you know, may talk about that more. All this is going down and just sitting down with your small team and having this discussion. And how do you start it? And it's a difficult thing. But what happened on Fort Hood was a tragic event. And we're going to dig to the bottom of this and figure out what happened. If there's been leadership failure, you know, we need to take some action. We still don't know what that action is because we got to sort out the whole investigation and working. And this isn't just Army. This is with, you know, the FBI, the local police, with the, you know, the CID, you know, the leaders, and everybody is all in on getting to the bottom of exactly what happened. And then in the end, what actions do we need to take to ensure this never happens again? So we're dealing with this multiple ways. You know, I think the best way at the small unit leaders, we need to have some really honest discussions about what's going on in the unit. And then those leaders, if they find something that's not going right, we need to fix it. But what also we're doing here is, you know, the Secretary of the Army said we're going to do an independent review on Fort Hood. And we're going to get outside folks to look at this. You know, it's nobody in the Army. It's going to be independent civilians, some lawyers, to go in and see, do we have everything right? There's been multiple folks looking at this. I know the Force Com IG has been down to Fort Hood, but we're not giving up on looking into this and see what changes do we need to make to ensure that we never, ever have another of Vanessa again.
Yes, I mean, you're right. It's a very, very tough subject, and it's good to see that the Army is getting to the root problem of it. Not just that, but like you said, talking to down at the squad level, figuring out how to prevent this from ever happening in our Army again. SMA, I'd like to shift to another tough subject that needs to be talked about. And I know you've been on the front lines of this, and the subject of racial inclusion and diversity, which we've been watching closely the past few weeks and even months. You posted a video on social media about racial issues that you faced. And you've done some other podcasts and got a lot of feedback. Why did you think this was important to discuss your race on social media recently?
internally, it was not easy for me to talk about. And still, you know, I don't just, you know, walk around and just have these open discussions. So I think if I'm dealing with that, then all the other soldiers are dealing with that. And not all of them, but there's other soldiers dealing with that. So if I can talk about it, I think it shows that it's okay to have these discussions that are not easy to have. You know, it's going to be emotional. So sharing my story may help others talk about how they grew up. On both sides, we need to listen to how they grew up and then have that discussion. And don't judge. Don't speculate. Ask those hard questions. Really, you saw the KKK walk down the street. Well, how did that make you feel? If somebody asks a hard question like that, don't take it so personal. It's just they didn't see anything like that, and they didn't know the emotions behind it. And I think what I wanted to do was share a little of my story so that when the small squads or the small elements are having these discussions, they can say, well, you know, the SMA struggled with this too. It's okay for me to talk about my struggles and how I grew up. And then I think one thing that I've learned having done a whole bunch of small sessions, it's okay to ask some of those really hard questions without judging, because you want to know, and somehow we can get past this and we can understand each other. And I think once we do that and we have those open and honest communications, our Army is just going to be better. So that's why I wanted to share it. So it starts everybody just having an honest conversation about some of the things that they're dealing with.
SMA, I'll tell you, I personally, and I know a whole bunch of people agree with me out there, that leading from the front like you did is how you begin that discussion, showing soldiers that it's okay to talk about it. But how do you think the Army's discussion on racial inclusion is going? I mean, you've been out there traveling around talking to soldiers. What's happening down at that squad level?
I think we're doing okay. And this is where I'd ask everybody, we need to do better than just okay. Every squad or small element, office, group, civilian, family, we all need to get together, take time. I did it in my office. You know, we got the office together. We shut the door. We didn't spin the dial. We didn't lock ourselves in. So that's good news. But we shut the door, no slides. And we just went around and said, you know, how'd you grow up? What were you dealing with? I need everybody's help to actually do it, because I think we're doing okay. And what I mean by that is I don't think everybody sees the urgency to do this. And I think we all need to sit down and we need to do it more often. You know, this should be, you know, a monthly counseling. We all sit down as a group and have a small group discussion. I know that comes with trust, because if I don't trust everybody in the group, I may not be willing to open up. But I think the more we do it, the more I'm going to trust that I could open up about what it, you know, I'm actually dealing with. But if we never start the conversation, there may be people in our squads and our teams that are dealing with things. And because we never even start the conversation and we don't build that trust over time, we're not having those difficult conversations. We're ignoring it. So I think we need to do better as an Army. I think when I've tested it and said, okay, have you had these conversations in your squad? Maybe sometimes I get a 50% yes. And I think that needs to be 100%. I really ask for everybody listening here is to please, if you're in the military and in the Army, small squads, sit down and have some of these questions. And then, you know, how do we start this? You know, I'd say, just ask the question. Tell me, how did you grow up? And I think that helps. When you just get one of those questions, you can also go to the brigades, have the equal opportunity advisors, and they can help you facilitate one of these small group discussions. I don't think they lead it. I think that's still at the small unit level, but I really think we need to do better with that.
Well, SMA, you hit it right on that you got to get it out on the table and you have to talk about it. And it's not a one conversation and done. It's got to continue. And I would just invite our listeners out there that the SMA is going to bring in some of those squad leaders to the AUSA headquarters on 31 August to have this discussion. And it's going to be a great event. So I'd ask you to tune in for that, for the noon report on 31 August with the Sergeant Major of the Army and those squad leaders who are down there at the grassroots level of our Army. So SMA, thanks again for leading this initiative And thanks again for stepping out front and having that discussion publicly to get our Army moving towards the right direction. Sergeant Major, I'm a big fan, and we've talked about it on this show several times, of your initiative, This Is My Squad. So can you describe to our listeners, how does a This Is My Squad mentality enable discussions about difficult topics like racial inclusion?
Well, when you have a positive attitude and your whole goal is to make the culture of your squad better, which is the premise of This Is My Squad, and you have some ownership, and that's both ways. Some people say, well, is that the squad leader to the soldier, or is that the soldier? It's both. So when a soldier can say, this is my squad, and he's very proud of being in that organization, there's caring, there's pride, and like I said before, there's trust. If that squad member truly believes that the squad leader or the small unit leader trusts that, you know, has their best interests, they can have these conversations. If I don't have that trust, I don't have that care in the organization, I will never have this conversation. So you may not have these conversations with your other squad, meaning I've had these conversations as a father, because my other squad is my family, my wife, my kids. And we've sat on the couch and said, okay, let's talk about racial inclusion and how do you feel? And I've had these open discussions with my daughter. So that doesn't happen if, you know, she doesn't trust that, you know, dad's going to listen. But it's the same thing in the squad, is that if they don't trust that the squad leader really wants to hear what they have to say, they're not going to tell you anything. So that's the whole point of being, this is my squad, is that it's okay to be tough. You can challenge them, but they also have to know that bottom, deep down, you care for their personal well-being, no matter what. And that's what it means to be in my squad.
Listen, man, you've mentioned it several times. This is a tough conversation to have. And, you know, if I was a first sergeant or battalion CSM mentoring down to squad level or platoon level, what advice could you give me to have those tough conversations?
Well, first, I would say if I'm a battalion or a first sergeant, I would say, well, have that with your orderly room. You know, first sergeants have like the training room NCO, the supply sergeant, the armor. Did you bring that group in? So start with, do it yourself. Again, set the example and being a leader, that's how it starts. I shared my story, but I didn't just do it on Twitter. I also did it, like I said earlier, with my inner office. Well, that's step one. Step two is take time and sit down with your squad leaders and say, okay, tell me your story. How did you grow up? So just talking to them, and then the battalion sergeant major could do that with his first sergeants. So setting that same example, because I'd like to say that, you know, all the first sergeants in the world, they didn't have any of these issues. Oh, of course they did. And the battalion sergeant major may have had something growing up. And it may have not just been racial inclusion. It could have been, you know, how did you prevent sexual harassment or sexual assault? Or were you sexually assaulted yourself as a battalion sergeant major? And you have those conversations. And you show, and battalion sergeant major grads the first sergeants, and he shows, let's have these conversations there. And that just role models on, you know, what it looks like. And then in the end, you can just go down and attend some of those events and just listen. I think the hardest thing for all of us, though, is just to listen and don't be quick to talk. And that's hard for me, too. I don't always get it right because I want to solve the problem. But at this point, I think the most important piece in the beginning is we actually have to listen what people are actually telling us. I would like to say, you know, one more thing that I really believe we need to have these tough conversations is, you know, battalion CSMs and first sergeants, is this whole phrase of I only see green. I've gotten this a few times, and unfortunately, I may have said that a couple of times in my career, but it came up in one of the small group sessions I was having. We were just doing a This Is My Squad session, talking about racial inclusion. And believe it or not, it was a master sergeant in the back row. And he said, well, you know, Sergeant Major, I got something to add. He said, well, when you say I only see green, implying that I don't see race, is that you don't see the other side of me. And I thought that was so powerful, and it made perfectly good sense. you know, you've heard me even say it, you know, a minute ago about my squad is also my wife, my kids, you know, so I'm a father. That's the other part of me that makes up the soldier. And what he was saying was, when I take off my uniform and I get in my car to drive downtown, people treat me differently. We as leaders need to acknowledge that there's other parts of me. And to understand the soldier understands all the parts of me that make up the soldier and what I'm dealing with. So I thought that's really powerful. And I think first sergeants and sergeant majors and our soldiers need to have those discussions. And we don't just see green. We need to see all the parts of our soldiers and understand what they're dealing with.
Yeah. No, that's great advice, SMA. And thank you very much for providing that. You know, SMA, I'd like to shift our focus a little bit. You know, we've experienced an increase in the coronavirus cases around the U.S. over the last month, and that's not news to anybody. But COVID-19 continues to alter the way we live, and the Army's not immune to this issue, obviously. SMA, what is the Army doing about COVID-19 protection measures and training as the number of positive cases increase across the nation?
Well, first of all, I need everybody to stay vigilant. This is not over with yet. I mean, you can just turn on any news channel and you're going to see it's not over with. We've been consistent with our themes and been fairly successful that if we keep our distance, wear our masks, wash our hands, we can still train. If we start to, I don't really need a mask, this is over with, you know, I think that's where the danger comes in. You can still train, but you still have to, best you can, maintain your distance, wash your hands, wear your mask if you got to be in close quarters with someone, because we're starting to see the numbers rise in the nation. I've seen numbers rise in the military. We're still doing very well. Now is not the time to go, oh, this is over, and we get a whole bunch of people sick. We don't need to do that. We just need to maintain our vigilance and our discipline. And those measures that we put in place, we just need to keep those. We're starting to open up our training. We got a brigade out at NTC, out of National Guard right now. You know, we did screening before we come in. If those that didn't pass the screen, we did testing. We're doing testing on everybody that comes into basic training. We can't let up on those measures for a while until, in my opinion, we get a vaccine. And so don't take your eye off the ball. Maintain discipline. I think this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. You got to maintain a steady pace over a period of time, and you're going to finish that race. If we go real quick and then go, oh, we're good, and we don't need to do this anymore, I think that's where we're going to lose our focus and may get more people sick. So right now we're doing well, but we need to maintain that discipline.
Absolutely, SMA. And it's important because, you know, our Army's got to be ready to defend our nation at all times. And you've been able to travel and see how troops and our families are holding up in many different units. How are units like the 82nd Airborne able to accomplish things like the expert infantry badge and expert soldier badge testing under these COVID-19 conditions?
You know, I went out to Fort Bragg, and I'm really proud of the 82nd Airborne Division for what they did and how they did it. They maintained their distance, and they were wearing their masks. And some people say, well, why are we doing this? Why do we have to do this? We have to maintain our readiness to protect the nation. So one of those things that I truly believe builds readiness is the expert soldier badge and the expert infantry badge. That's the foundation. You get those fundamental warrior tasks and battle drills out, then you can build off that foundation. When you don't have the foundation, I think we're just not as strong as Army as we can be. So I think it's important. And what they did is they had different times. They actually did it a whole as a division. So one brigade had a certain time to be on the lanes. Once that brigade finished, they sent in another brigade. They had different times and how you rotate the stations. You had lines on how you could go through. They had hand washing stations throughout the area. They had face coverings. They had hand sanitizer. So the most important thing here is, like I said, well, you know, this is a marathon, not a sprint, is now we have to learn how to do things. So, and I think in the beginning, you know, we take pause, let's figure out what we're doing. But it's like, how do we operate in the environment that we have now? And I think we can do that safely. And that's what the 82nd demonstrated by spreading people out, keeping their hands clean, wearing your face covering. And then they said, we can do EID. We can do ASB. We can go to the National Training Center if we just stay disciplined what we're doing. So don't just say, oh, this is a bad situation I'm in. I can't do anything. What I'm impressed about the most is leaders are finding a way how to do things safely, given the conditions that we have now. And that's what makes it really special about what the 82nd did.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Sergeant Major. And, you know, COVID-19 impacts us all. And it impacts not just training and readiness of the Army, but the day-to-day operation, the administration of it, and also our families. Sergeant Major, can you tell us how COVID-19 has impacted the permanent change of station moves during this transition period?
You know, we had the stop move May and June, and unless you had an exception to policy, and we had quite a few exceptions to policy to move in that timeline. But now we're really starting to see families move. And, you know, some of the feedback I'm getting is the PCS moves are actually going well. And normally you get a whole bunch of bad stories about movers and people moving. I'm sure there's still some of those stories out. But we went to the command that's in charge, Transcom, of how do we do this? And we said, well, we need to ask the questions, you know, so we don't want, you know, movers coming in our house if they're sick. So there's a requirement for them to ask these questions. You know, are you feeling bad? They're required to have a mask and have some gloves. We're asking the family members to stay away from the movers because we don't need to get the movers sick. But then we've also added, you know, a leadership check on those moves. We've had more checkers to go out from, you know, the Army side to go out and not just hand out a card and say, call me if you have a problem with your move, is that I'm here with a checklist to do an inspection to see, are the movers doing everything that they should be doing on this PCS move? And we're starting to see small gains on how we can do this better. We've also extended the reporting windows. So, you know, before, you know, you have to the 10th of July to get there, and you got to be there from 1 to 10 July. We said, well, maybe we make that 40 days. So if you need more time to execute your out processing, you have more time to do that. We also said that, you know, the soldier's place of duty is at the house with, you know, the movers. So that helps too. So you shouldn't be pulling them back for anything while we're doing this, while they're doing the moving trucks. But as we come out of this, we're moving a lot of people around the nation right now. So far, it's been mostly positive. I'm really proud of how we're executing it during this COVID-19 time.
Sergeant Major, I'd like to shift focus just one more time because I know our time is short. It's a topic that's on the minds of all of our soldiers, Guard, Reserve, and active duty. It's the Army Combat Fitness Test. SMA, how do you think the Army Combat Fitness Test 2 rollout went? And what is some of the feedback that you're getting from the field on it?
I think the rollout went well. We've got a good plan on how to get this through. We've done a lot of talking about, you know, ACFT 2.0. And, you know, why did we say 2.0? Because it's going to evolve. The version we have right now isn't the version we had a year ago. So it shows that we're trying to evolve this. But it's coming. And, you know, change is so hard. Some people are just very reluctant to change. And, you know, maybe I'm one of those too. But we can get this and we can do it. And it's coming. We've tried to add more clarity. So take the test. I still think that's the biggest fear is the unknown, is that I haven't taken the test yet. I think when you talk about it, it's okay. But when you take it, you go, oh, man, that was it. You're like, yeah, that's it. And, you know, it's not that bad. I had a really great Facebook group discussion that had about 17,000 members on there. And we're going to continue to march along. And I think about a year from now, it's just going to be how we do things. So right now, I think the rollout's on track. There's still some angst out there, but all that's going on. You know, we got a new combat fitness test, still got COVID, we still have these things going on. The most importantly is stay active. I think that's healthy in the environment that we're in. And, you know, some of the gyms are closed. We're starting to see some of the gyms open back up. Saw some this morning on Fort Myers, saw some ACFT Connex out, and everybody's starting to do it. And I think that's really healthy, not just physically healthy. I think that keeps us mentally healthy, the more active we are in. So Army Combat Fitness Test rollout is going well. It's going to happen. It's the test of record on 1 October. Just take the test. And I think we're going to be fine. But this also, the more we train physically, I think it helps both physically and mentally.
SMA, I couldn't agree with you more. Physical fitness is a huge component of the readiness of our soldiers in our Army. SMA, our time is coming to a close, but as always, I'd like to give you the last word. Is there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners out there or any other messages you'd like to get out?
I'd just like to say that I'm really proud of the Army. I know since I've been in the Army is 32 years, I've never seen anything quite like this. And I think the last time we had a pandemic was over 100 years ago. So, you know, we're going through some extraordinary times in the world. And I'm proud of our military to stay vigilant, to stay disciplined. I'm proud of our NCOs to enforce standards. And I think that's what's keeping us healthy. We got to maintain communications with our soldiers, but we also need to take the time to get to know our soldiers better on a different level than something we haven't done in a while. But I'm really proud of everything that everyone's doing. And we just got to maintain that discipline and keep up that we're going to get through this, even though this is difficult times, that I'm extremely proud of everything that the Army is doing.
Well, SMA, thank you. And again, thank you for your leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of United States Army want to thank Sergeant of the Army, Michael Grinston, for joining us today for this great update on many of the ongoing initiatives across the Army. As Army alum, I can say from all of us across the country, thank you and all of our soldiers for what you've done and all you continue to do. Thank you for continuing the proud traditions of our Army that makes us the greatest land power force in the world.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.